لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك ان الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك ان الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Hajj Step by Step. Alhamdulillah, we've been able to move through many of the rites of Hajj on this program, and we will continue with that today. I'm your host, Musa Maguire, and our guide for Hajj on this program is Sheikh Muhammad Salah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, in the past few episodes, we've covered the basic virtues of Hajj, we've talked about the state of Ihram, and we've talked about Tawaf. Now we're moving on to another stage of Hajj, which is called Sa'i. Is this considered a pillar, much like the other acts we talked about? And how can you basically define Sa'i? What does that actually mean in Arabic?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyihi wa mustafah. Praise be to Allah, who praise him and we seek his help. Whomsoever Allah guides is the truly guided one, and whomsoever Allah leaves astray, no one can show him guidance. May peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, indeed, as-sa'i is the third pillar of either Hajj or Umrah. By the meaning, if a person is performing Umrah during any time of the year, he has to do the first pillar, which is Ihram, the second, which is At-Tawaf, the third, which is as-sa'i. Similarly, if a person is doing Hajj and Umrah, he begins by the rites of the Umrah and perform those arkan. Whenever we say rukn, it means it's not redeemable if the person does not do it. If the person who is performing Hajj skipped the rukn, his Hajj is incomplete and invalid. As-sa'i is a very old tradition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوِ اعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا وَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. سورة البقرة. Allah the Almighty explains, indeed, As-Safa wal-Marwa, these two hills are of the symbols of Allah around the sacred house. So for one who is performing Hajj or Umrah, there is no sin upon him to do tawaf between them, referring to that practice which is known as As-Sa'i. As-Sa'i is to walk between two objects, and here is to walk between the two small hills, As-Safa wal-Marwa. What are these two hills, As-Safa wal-Marwa? We go back when Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, took his only son, Ishmael, along with his mother, and he deposited them in a deserted area, which is Mecca. Back then, it was all just desert and mountains. She said, "Oh Abraham, did Allah command you to do so?" He said, "Certainly." She said, "With full belief and trust in Allah, then we will never get lost." He left with them a very little provision. And of course, once this provision finished, she wasn't able to feed her baby. So she was rushing back and forth, trying to locate or find any water so that she would be able to drink, eat, and feed her baby. And she would go up to As-Safa and then run all the way towards Al-Marwa, and once again would climb it to look around with nothing there. On the seventh trip, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angel Gabriel, peace be upon him, where beneath the foot of Ismail alayhi salam, he hit the ground and the water gushed forth. This is Zamzam water. So the practice of Hajar as walking between As-Safa wal-Marwa every believer who's performing Hajj ever since, or Umrah, is commemorating the remembrance of this believing woman. In Islam, a believer is very, very valuable. And the practices of those who have faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a man or a woman, is very well appreciated. So there, Allah the Almighty made all the believers throughout history and until the Day of Judgment would walk following the footsteps of this woman, Hajar. In between, there are two green markers, which is recommended that men should jog in between. Same thing, following the same footsteps. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he finished tawaf and did what we talked about of praying the two rak'ah sunnah to tawaf and drinking from zamzam water, etc., he went ahead all the way until he climbed as-Safa in the hadith, which is narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, until he was able to see the Kaaba. Then he faced the Kaaba. And he recited the verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. And he stated that, I begin with what Allah began with. So in the ayah, Allah began with as-Safa, then al-Marwa. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began as-Sa'i between them by climbing as-Safa. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood there facing the Kaaba. He recited this verse. And he said, La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. He said that three times. Then there is another beautiful supplication that the Prophet ﷺ taught us in the regard in this occasion and in this place. That you say, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. Yuhyi wa yumit. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. لا إله إلا الله وحده أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. This dua is recommended to be repeated thrice while you are on as-Safa and while you are on al-Marwa facing the Kaaba. Means there is no God besides Allah. He is the only true God alone. أنجز وعده, He fulfilled His promise. نصر عبده, and he made his servant victorious. وهزم الأحزاب وحده, and he defeated the confederates all alone by himself. After making those beautiful supplications three times, a person would raise his or her hand and ask Allah the Almighty for whatever need they need Allah to fulfill. Ask for forgiveness, pray for himself, for his loved ones, for the entire Ummah. Once you're done with that, you're ready to begin the journey by descending, then making your way towards Al-Marwa. When you reach to Al-Marwa, you climb those rocks. If it is accessible, then you face the Kaaba and you repeat what we just said once again, but you do not recite the verse. Reciting the verse is only in the very first time when you climb on as-Safa.
Let me ask you, Sheikh, some people may not be aware of the geography of Mecca. Where exactly are these hills of as-Safa and Marwa? I mean, is this a distance from the Kaaba, or do you have to sort of walk between through a sort of a valley between two hills? What exactly is involved for someone who's never seen it before?
Well, I hope through the show which you are watching right now on the screen, we can get a close look. At the corner which has the black stone, if you walk in an angle 45 degrees all the way, that would take you to as-Safa right away. It's just a walking distance, a few steps until you get to as-Safa. You see people right there are sitting and climbing on as-Safa. It's not a high mountain, rather it's a small hill. You don't really have to climb it. The Prophet ﷺ did until he was able to see the Kaaba. And nowadays, you see that the two ways of as-Safa going to al-Marwa and coming back from al-Marwa towards as-Safa are made like into a building. This is all inside al-Masjid. However, that part was originally outside the sacred mosque. And we will understand soon the benefit of being separate from the masjid. But if you're in right now and you happen to join the jama'ah, you're considered as praying inside the masjid. So these two hills are just walking steps away, especially as-Safa, from al-Ka'ba.
What are some of the other conditions of as-Sa'i?
As-Sa'i would require, number one, to perform tawaf before as-Sa'i. You cannot just do sa'i, then do tawaf afterward. But the order is very, very important, as you cannot just commence on performing tawaf without assuming the intention of performing either Hajj or Umrah, or knowing exactly what is the purpose of your visit, which is through the ihram. As-Sa'i is walking between as-Safa and al-Marwa with the intention of performing ibadah, an act of worship. So it's got to be in order after at-tawaf. It requires that the person makes 7 rounds. Many people get confused when I say 7 rounds or 7 trips, so that they assume that going back and forth, round trip, they count it as one. No. 7 trips. From as-Safa to al-Marwa, this is one. Coming back from al-Marwa towards as-Safa, 2. Going to al-Marwa again, 3, and so forth. So now if you begin with as-Safa and you're supposed to make 7 trips, you would end up where at the 7th trip at al-Marwa. Once you reach to al-Marwa on the 7th time, you've done. You don't need to make it 14 times as some do by counting round trip as just one.
What about the issue of tahara, which is required for other acts of worship? Do you have to make wudu to perform a sa'i? Or if you break your wudu, do you have to stop? What is the requirements?
You see, I did not mention amongst the requirements of a sa'i at-tahara, because it is not a requirement as the case of performing tawaf. At-tahara is a requirement for the performance of tawaf. But a sa'i, no. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam notes that Aisha had her period, may Allah be pleased with her, he said to her that do everything that the Hajj would do except at-tawaf. So if a woman had performed tawaf al-ifada, for instance, and all of a sudden she've got the period, in this case she may perform sa'i without being worried about at-tahara at all. That's why I said initially that part, these two avenues between as-Safa and al-Marwa, were separate from the masjid. But it's always recommended to have tahara and wudu throughout the entire time, especially in those sacred places and sacred times. So it is recommended a person would have wudu before making sa'i.
Well, thank you, Sheikh. This is a very good introduction to the issue of as-Sa'i, and I want to continue talking about this after we come back from a break. I know there's probably many more details that we need to know and need to benefit from. So please stay with us, and we'll be back in just a minute. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. We're talking about as-Sa'i. There are a few recommended acts that you mentioned during at-tawaf. One was ittiba, which was folding the garment from the right shoulder underneath the arm, and also ar-ramal in terms of running briskly, moving briskly. Do these acts apply at all to as-Sa'i as well?
Well, concerning al-ittiba, it is only limited to the very first tawaf, the arrival tawaf, as we agreed. It's not even practiced in any other tawaf. But ar-ramal, in the first 3 rounds in tawaf, when we come to as-Sa'i, we will notice that amongst the recommended acts, there are some green markers that a person would see on the way between as-Safa wal-Marwa. In between these two green markers, it is recommended for as-Sa'i, for the male pilgrim or the male person who is performing Umrah, to jog, which will be faster than just walking briskly, between these two green areas, those markers. A woman should not do that at all, of course. While doing sa'i, going back and forth, one should keep his tongue and heart busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no specific dua that's recommended to say or to be recited, but you may recite Quran, you may recite istighfar, or any azkar that you remember. But do not think that there is a specific supplication for each shib. This is not described at all in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's the one who said that, take the rites of Hajj step by step from me, not from anyone else.
There's also an issue anytime we have these acts of worship that require a good deal of labor or work. Some people aren't capable of it. For instance, someone might be in a wheelchair. Perhaps someone just gets tired and needs rest. Is it permissible for these people to continue in their normal way through this rite?
لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. This is a beautiful glad tidings Allah have delivered to all of us. Allah does not lay any commands on any soul beyond its capacity. So if a person cannot stand, may sit on a wheelchair, can be carried by others, as long as he goes in the same direction between As-Safa and Marwa. That applies to At-Tawaf too as well. While being healthy, if you feel that you cannot do it anymore, it's very, very crowded, you need to take a break, you may do that. And if you notice that in this beautiful picture, you see the green markers, this is the area where that men should jog in between, back and forth in every single trip, throughout the 7 trips between As-Safa and Marwa. On both sides, you will find that Zamzam water everywhere, cold and regular. So you enjoy sitting, taking a break, drinking from Zamzam water and making supplications after supplications. It is very, very enjoyable indeed. Keep in mind that in the same place, Hajar used to walk in between the two hills, but it was not paved. It was not air conditioned. There was no marble on the floor. There were no fans and shade. It was desert, pebbles and stones. But she trusted Allah the Almighty. So while you perform in sa'i, reflect upon those beautiful practices of the righteous people and focus on one thing, how to be a better servant of Allah the Almighty.
Well, as we've done for some of the other components of this program, we have a short video dealing with some of the misconceptions or the problems in the way that a sa'i is performed. So, inshallah, we'll go to that now. And, Sheikh, if you could just comment and kind of direct us to the issues at hand.
As we see here, somebody have raised his right hand and apparently he's pointing, that's another person, he's pointing towards the Kaaba or basically the black stone. We have to differentiate now. There is another case here where we see women jogging, and we stated that women should not jog or do ramal at all. Also, we see some men uncovering their right shoulder. They assume that they are still in a state of al-tiba'. Now, those mistakes should be avoided. Once a person starts his sa'i, should cover his shoulders. A woman should not jog in between the two green markers. Only men. And if a man is taking his wife, daughter, or a lady with him, he may jog, then he would wait for her so that she doesn't have to run to catch up with him at all. As we've seen that those who are raising their hands, this is a very common practice, that a person would just raise his hand towards the Kaaba, the same practice they would do before the black stone. This is wrong. The Prophet ﷺ stood on As-Safa and he made the supplications, not pointing towards the Kaaba, rather just facing the Kaaba.
Sheikh, once we finish with this rite in Hajj, this pillar of Hajj, As-Sa'i, where does that leave us? And is there any difference at this stage in terms of which type of Hajj that you've made the intention to do?
Exactly, it depends. So for instance, if a person came to perform Hajj with the intention of making Umrah and Hajj, Hajj al-Tamattu, so now this person is ready to exit the state of Ihram. Simply after finishing As-Sa'i and reaching at Al-Marwa in the 7th trip by shaving or trimming their hair. Shaving is prescribed only, of course, for men, and it's not allowed for women. Trimming is only for women. and it is also permissible for men. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once prayed for those who shave, as saying, "Rahim Allahu al-muhalliqin." Some of the companions said, "O Prophet of Allah, what about those who just trim?" Assume that a person like Musa is very keen about his hair and doesn't want to shave. So we'd say that, may Allah have mercy on you if you shave after you finish the arkan of the Umrah or the arkan of the Hajj. So once again, they repeated the question, "Ya Rasulullah, what about those who only trim?" He said, may Allah have mercy on those who shave. And he repeated that four times. Every time a person is performing Hajj or Umrah, and remember that the Prophet ﷺ prayed four times for those who shave, would say, of course I would like to be of them, four times. And afterward, the Prophet ﷺ was asked once again, and he said, and may Allah have mercy on those who trim their hair. Once you shave or trim your hair, now you're in a state of complete tahallul. You exited the state of ihram. It is lawful for you to wear your regular clothes, to wear the fragrance, to even embrace your wife and have a marital relationship with her. Because that is the purpose and the benefit of Hajj al-Tamattu. But if you're in a state of Hajj al-Qiran, you still remain in the same condition of ihram. You do not exit ihram, you do not put on different clothes, your regular clothes. Rather, you keep the ihram clothes on all the way until the Hajj is over. And that's why we definitely recommend Hajj al-Tamattu for those who came earlier, so that they can do the Umrah in a few hours, then exit the state of ihram, and feel free to do anything without any restriction, anything that's permissible, of course, until the 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, when they will be ready to assume a new intention of performing Hajj.
For Hajj al-Qiran, do you actually perform the act of cutting or trimming, or do you wait until the end of
no.
Hajj?
No. While you're in a state of ihram, cutting or trimming becomes one of the restrictions of ihram. So since you will keep your ihram on and you remain in this condition of ihram, you're not allowed to clip, cut, or shave.
What about someone who's performing Hajj al-Tamattu, but wants to perform another Umrah, maybe within the few days that he or she is staying in Mecca? Is this acceptable?
Well, that's another privilege that those who are performing Hajj al-Tamattu, they may get. The question now, whether it is permissible to perform another Umrah or more than one Umrah in between this Umrah of Hajj and the Hajj itself. The practice of the Prophet ﷺ was as follows. He came, and whenever he came, he performed only Umrah, one Umrah with the Hajj. So it is recommended to follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ and to copy his traditions. However, we cannot say that it is prohibited. Rather, it's not just recommended, especially during Hajj. Why? Because whenever you go to perform another ihram and come back, that would just increase the crowd furthermore. And it would not give a chance for those who just arrived to perform tawaf and sa'i freely. But if you still would like to go to perform Umrah, then you will have to exit from Al-Haram and go to a place, appointed place for the people of Mecca to assume a new intention of Ihram, which is known as At-Tan'im, and nowadays is known as Masjid Aisha. This is actually the place where the Prophet ﷺ, when Aisha came with him to perform Hajj, and she experienced her period, monthly period, she wasn't able to perform Umrah at first. She remained until she's done with the Hajj. Then she came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Rasulullah, everybody did Hajj and Umrah. I'm the only one who just did Hajj. I'm not going to go home with Hajj without Umrah." So the Prophet ﷺ sent Abdurrahman, her brother, with her. You see, she needed a mahram to At-Tan'im, which is a very close area, but this is an area outside the sanctuary of Mecca or Al-Haram, where there she assumed an intention of performing Umrah, and she returned to Mecca and she did all the arkan which we talked about. Then afterward, she trimmed a part of her hair and she was now in a state of tahallul.
Now, I've heard before that because there's a time later during Hajj where you also shave the hair, that sometimes if you're doing Umrah before that, within a few days you want to trim instead of shave, so you have something left for Hajj. Is this advisable?
Unfortunately, many people think it is an opportunity and they have to seize. So they do more than one Umrah in one day. No, some of the scholars said that you have to leave a gap at least a few days, 10 days perhaps, enough to have your hair grow back if you've shaved, so that you'll be able to shave it once again, unless if you're planning to shave the scalp instead of the hair.
Well, we're running out of time, but if there's a chance, we just wanted to review one issue in particular, which has come up several times, but it's worth mentioning. The difference between the practices for men and women throughout the Hajj. What are some of the key things we need to remember in this regard?
Well, first of all, concerning the ihram, we know that men are not allowed to wear any stitched clothes during their ihram at all, while women wear their regular everyday clothes. Men would just wear the fragrance prior to assuming the intention of ihram. Women would avoid that completely. The ihram of a woman is in her face and hands. It is not permissible for her to cover her face and hands in regular conditions. If she's sitting in her room, if she's around feminine company, only whenever she passes by men or men pass by her, in this case she may cover her face if she's one of those who are already wearing the niqab. When we come to talk about al-tawaf, men do al-ramal and do al-ittiba'a. Women are not allowed to jog, and of course they don't do al-ittiba'a. Same thing in the case of as-sa'i. Jogging between the two green markers, it's only prescribed for men, and it is not for women.
Well, alhamdulillah, through the episode so far, we've finished an umrah here together in the studio and with our viewers at home. Though, of course, it doesn't have the same reward as actually being there, but I think we've all gained a lot of knowledge and feel a lot more comfortable in terms of facing this for ourselves. Unfortunately, for this episode, we're out of time. So when we come back, we'll move further on to the next rites of Hajj. Please stay with us for that. We're looking forward to having you with us again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.